Grace has shone forth from thy mouth.
Today on Harmony of Thunder, Father David Smith from St. George Antiochian Orthodox Church in Utica, New York, discusses Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt, the rest of the story.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. A meeting was taking place in 1923 at the Edgewater Hotel, the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago, one of the most spectacular and opulent hotels in the world, on the Gold Coast there, if you've ever been to Chicago. The president of the largest independent steel company of the world was there, and the president of the largest utility in the world. A member of the president's cabinet was there, and he was joined by several of the most successful stock and commodity traders in history. Those men who assembled in Chicago that day embodied the wealth and potential and power of America. School children all over the country knew about these men's stories and held them up as models for their lives. If you were standing in the lobby of that hotel that day when these men arrived, you would be impressed with splendor and power. But now, in the year 2000, we can look back, and as Paul Harvey likes to say, we know the rest of the story. The president of the world's largest independent steel company at that time was Charles Schwab, a man who died with no money whatsoever. When he died, he was living off of money he had borrowed from his friends. The president of the New York Stock Exchange was there, Richard Whitney, who would be incarcerated in Sing Sing prison just a short time after that meeting. The man on the cabinet of the President of the United States was Albert Fall. He was also incarcerated long enough that he was only released as he was dying so that he could die in his home. And what about these great legends of investing that met that day in 1923? Jesse Livermore, Leon Frazier, Ivan Kruger, all who had made almost unimaginable amounts of money markets, these men all died by committing suicide. The world at that time was transfixed by their fortunes, but now, as I have said, we know the rest of the story. In today's gospel reading, Jesus gives his disciples the rest of the story before it happens. They're on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and Jesus is hurrying. He's moving ahead of the crowds that always accompanied him. He wants to be alone with his disciples so that he can tell them that he is going to be arrested, tortured, spat upon, mocked, betrayed, and crucified when they get to Jerusalem. This is not going to be a Passover vacation in the big city. Why did he tell them this? Did he see their exuberance about the journey and long to pour some water on their fun? I don't think so. I think that Jesus wanted two things to happen in the disciples that day. First, he wanted them to know what was going to happen so that they could be prepared. We know that the events of Holy Week were a great shock to them. We go through the events of Holy Week every single year, and yet it's a great shock to us. But in addition to this, he wanted them to know that he knew what was coming, that he was in control, that God was in control. He wanted them to know this fact on the journey. He wanted them to know this fact in the city when trouble hit. Bad things are coming, but God is in control, he might have said to them. And that was the rest of the story as he told it to them. Well, I ask you, did the disciples hear what he said? No, not at all. As Jesus was giving them the news, James and John came puffing up alongside him to say that they wanted to be the executive vice presidents in the New Jerusalem division of the Jesus Corporation. Jesus was somewhat surprised by this. Are you sure? Did you hear what I just said? You can almost see James saying, oh yeah, He turns to John, did you hear him? Yeah, we're ready for anything, Lord. We're ready for anything. Jesus tells them, as you know, that they will indeed suffer with him, but that it is not his to give who will sit on his right and left hand. That is part of the rest of the story. When you go into most Orthodox churches, in the altar you see Christ enthroned. And who sits on his right and his left hand? As a matter of fact, it's on the iconostasis too. You have Jesus enthroned, and on his right hand is the Theotokos, and on his left hand is St. John the Baptist. That's the rest of that story. That had already been decided. But what about the suffering part? James, we know, would remain in Jerusalem, where some years later he would be beheaded. And we know that John would suffer horribly in that city before being exiled to the barren island of Patmos. So they got what they asked for, didn't they? Although they didn't know that they were asking for it. And now I ask you, what's the rest of your story? What's the rest of our story? What will people say after we're gone? Will there be a story circulating about how we sat in church on April 16th in the year 2000, not expecting anything? And that sometime later, some ironic thing happened that made us into an interesting story to tell? I don't know. I don't know what a story about my life or your life, how it would be told. But I will say this. We cannot know what's going to happen in the future, but we know for certain that the future is in God's hands. We cannot know what's going to happen in the future, but we know for certain that the future is in God's hands. Perhaps this information would have helped the industrialists and investors of early 20th century America. Perhaps they would have looked at life differently, knowing that the future was in God's hands. I don't know. We do know that James and John came to understand this fact because we have their writings. We know how they dealt with the events that came to be after this journey that we read about in today's gospel. What is in our future? What is in your future? Will we celebrate Pascha together in 2 weeks? Will we all be here to celebrate it next year? Will we all be here to celebrate it the year after that? We really can't say, can we? But I know that I am overwhelmed with the peace and joy that comes from knowing that the future, whatever it is in God's hands, both now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.
You've been listening to Harmony of Thunder with Father David Smith. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.